Big daf ahead. We have a really big dafim. We're doing two daf today. We're going to finish in Mirat Hashem, the last very quick daf, very short daf in Psachim, and we're going to get ahead. Of course, today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf Aleph and Psachim. We left off by the two dafs Kuf Chaf and Beis. We're going to finish this Masechta Mirat Hashem and move on to Shkalim to get a head start, because we have the yontif so appropriately of Pesach coming up. We're going to have to catch up with our shiurim, so by getting a daf ahead, it'll help us out. So we left off by the two dots on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis towards the bottom. We had discussed that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we say we establish he's the author of a Mishnah who holds that the Seif Zman of Achilus of Kerem Pesach, and by extension today, Afi Kaiman, is Chatzais, so after Chatzais, the carbon Pesach becomes nicer. If it's nicer, says the Mishnah, it's Matami Yadayim. Like we find, the Mishnah says, Pigel and nicer on Matami Yadayim. Now, Tumas Yadayim, as a general rule, whenever there's Tumah only on the hands, that's a Tumah Durabanan. A Tumah on a biblical level is the whole guf. You don't separate the hands from the rest of the body. A Tumah Durabanan is like a Gzir Durabanan that they're concerned about some level of Tumah, some level of extra precaution. When we eat bread, we wash, because it relates to Kehanim with putting Truma put into their mouth at the same time they have something Tumah in their hands. And therefore, these are Gzir Durabanans. They make Gzir on Tumas Yadayim. So here too, Durabanan will Gzir that Pigel and Nicer have a Tumas Yadayim. Says the Gemara, two dots right at the bottom of the page. Rav Huna, Rav Chizda. We have Rav Huna, Rav Chizda. We're not sure who says what, but the pair of Amaram, each one says as follows. Chad Amar Mishum Chashtekuna. One says the reason why we're geizer, why do they put into effect this rabbinic tumah of Yadayim? One says because the Chshad of Kuna. The Chshad of Kuna, we'll explain that in a minute. The Chad Amar Mishum Asle Kuna. And the one says, I'll see Aslanas of the Kuna. So the laziness of the Kuna. Chshad Kuna means B'cheshit the Kuna, the Kayanim are going to do something wrong, and as Atzel says, we're concerned they're going to just be lazy. Now, the Mark, we don't know who says what, but the Mark explains. First we have a separate machlekes, and then we get back to the explanations. How much of this nicer, how much of the pigle is mitami yadayim? Does it have to be a kazayis of basar, only an olive size, or does it have to be kibetza, which is much bigger, a kibetza? Which one is it? So one man says kazayis, one man says kibetza. We'll explain what the basis for that machlekes is as well on Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, top of Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph. Chad tani pigle. Chad Tanya Pigel v'Chad Tanya Noiser. So really, the Rashbam really on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, I should have pointed out then on the bottom of the page, the last Rashbam of the page says there's no machlekes when we talk about chshad of kuna or atzlanas of kuna. They're not arguing. One was referring to the Isser of Pigel, and one Amayir is referring to the Isser of Noiser. We'll do the Noiser first because it's easier. Noiser is very simple. What leads to Noiser? Essentially, laziness, not being quick and careful to finish the busser in time, leads to being left over, leads to nicer. So Atzlei Kuna, they made a gezera that we know, we had this famous, we had early in this Masechta, we had it was back on Daf Ayin, we had early in the Masechta where we discussed that the Kohanim are very makbid on Tumma. So even when we're concerned about other potential pitfalls, the Chum will gezer Tumma, and that makes the Kohanim be careful. And Tais was asked back then, the famous Kasha, we love the Kasha, we've had elsewhere in Shabbos, Shabbos, the other Dinam as well, Tais asked, if the Kohanim don't care about this or Pigul, let's say, if they don't care about this or Nicer, are they going to care about this or Tumma? They don't care about being Mephagal or Carbon. They care about being Matami Adayim. And the simple answer, Tais says, is yes. Kohanim, because they kind of have a certain aversion to Tumah, and Tais brings a riot for the Gemara, where the Gemara discusses, I think it's the Gemara Numa, where the Gemara says that the Kohanim were busy, there was a murder that took place amongst Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and the bigger concern was, get the mace out of the Beis HaMikdash because of Tumah. They were more focused on the Tumah element than on the terrible Avera of Ritzicha. The point just is that for Kohanim, even kind of that are not going to not shamer proper Torah mitzvahs, they're not worried about being mafagel carbon, they're not worried necessarily about nicer maybe, but they're very worried about tumah. So therefore, it's very simple how making a gezer of tumah, tumis yadayim, will help the kohanim be incentivized to not let it become nicer, not be lazy, and let it become nicer, and therefore they'll eat it faster in order to avoid tumis yadayim. That is the atzlanis relates to nicer. The chshad relates to pigle. So it comes out that no one's arguing, they're just giving a different reason for a different part of the gzeira. The one who says that the grace of chshad of kona is worried about chshad of being mefagel. And the idea of being mefagel would be, there's different levels, but either the concern is, there could be two understandings. The Rishonim Mubeir seem to be saying, we're talking about a person, a kohen who did it on purpose. He wanted to mess up Yerim's carbon. He's going to claim it was by mistake. Without knowing the halacha, he wants to maybe try to exempt himself from being chayev, but he's going to claim it was by mistake, but he's going to be mefagel. He's going to be mefagel, on purpose, even because he wants to get back at his friend. The point is that if he knows his mitami adayim, then he'll pause before he does it, because it's going to mess himself up, because it's going to lead to tumah, and therefore he'll be careful not to be mafagal. The other concept could be very simple. This is what we explained in the morning. Not doesn't seem to be the malach of the Rishonim on the page, but I think I remember this malach from last time we had this idea, and it's more simple. We're not talking about a kain who's mafagal on purpose, and we're chayshish, and the lashon chashad is taka chayshish. He's doing it on purpose, and he's trying to get out of it, so this prevents him from doing it. But you could learn also that we're talking about a kain who did it by mistake. He didn't know. But he doesn't want to admit to his chait. He doesn't want to admit that he messed up. So he's going to keep it quiet. But now that there's a din of tumas yadayim, he won't be able to keep it quiet, because even though he could hide and piggle, he won't hide tumah. Maybe that could be another malach. Either way, the point is that making gzeiras tumah will take away the chshad of messing up piggle by mistake, on purpose, whatever it may be, or take away that slowness, the laziness, which leads to nicer. That is the tumachim. So the Rashbam explains, there's no machlekes afuna and Rav Chisda. One was explaining nicer, and one was explaining piggle. Okay, that's that part. Says more. Let's see inside. Chad Tanya Pigel. One was saying the reason of a pigel, namely the one who said chshat kahuna, like we'll see in a second, is pigel. V'chad Tanya nicer, and the one who says atzlanis, laziness, is nicer. The Mar explains what we've really spoke, we elaborated on already. Mad Tanya Pigel, m'shem chshat kahuna. Mad Tanya nicer, m'shem batzay kahuna. The one who says pigel, the one who says that the reason for the takana of tumas yadayim was to protect from pigel, he's the one that says chshad, the chshad of kind of misbehaving, and the one who says that it's atzlanis kuna, he was talking about the issue of nicer. They're talking about different issues and different reasons, but ultimately both of those are reasons for gezeiras of tumas yadayim. Okay, now we get to the machlekes of Kazayas or Kebetza. Chanam or Kazayas, Chanam or Kebetza. One says the Gzera was, that's Matami Yadayim when it's Shiva Kazayas. The other one says Matami Yadayim when it's Shiva Kebetza. What are the two Svaras? Mandam Kazayas, Kisurai, Mandam Kebetza, Kitamasai. Very simple, very straightforward. What is the shear for an Isser of Pigle? What is the amount that one has to eat of Isser Pigle to be Chayav Karas? What is the amount of Isser Nicer that one has to eat to be Chayav Karas? What's the shear of Isser? Kazayas. So the Gzera of Tumah was that same shear. They mimic, remember, there's a rabbinic Gzera of Tumah. The Rabbanan made a Gzera that the Tumah is going to be Tumah, the shear of Isser. Whatever the shear of Isser is, we're trying to avoid those Isserim of Pigle of Nicer. So whatever the shear of Isser is, that's the shear of Tumah. Very straightforward, very simple. Whereas the other man held, what's the shear of Tumah of Alma? The Rabbanan being guys of Tumah, taka to avoid Isser. But it's got to work with the guidelines of Tumah. Typically, something cannot convey tumah, food in particular, cannot convey tumah unless it is a shear of a kibetza. So when the rabbanon are going to be geyser, a new shear of tumah, that's mitami adayim, it's got to be a shear of kibetza. We've had machlekes in the past whenever we say that food does not have tumah unless it's a kibetza. We've discussed the machlekes in the Rishonim, but it's really, I had to learn the various gemaras. This comes up throughout Shas many times. We've discussed that's a machlekes. What about food becoming tumah? Could food become tumah less than a kibetza, or does it even have to be kibetza to become tumah? But either way, In terms of the food conveying tumah, giving tumah to something else, that clearly the shear is a kibetza. And therefore, this mind of my held, when I'm going to make a gzera, that pigle, nicer, give off tumah, we're talking about buster of a carbon, give off tumah, that's an eichel, it's got to be kibetza, it's got to fit with the guidelines of general tumah, that's the machleika. So do we say I'm going to make a new gzera of tumah, and therefore just go based on the shear of iser? Or do you say that even though I'm making gzera of tumah, it's a new gzera, but it's got to work with the guidelines of tumah, and therefore you go with the kibetza, that's the tutsadim. Okay, last Mishnah in the Masechta. So like the Mishnah, Birch Birchas HaPesach. So when we do a mitzvah, we just had the Gemara 2 days ago about making a bracha Evel Asiyasan, and that'll actually be very relevant in this Mishnah. You make a bracha before you do the mitzvah, right before you do the mitzvah, right before the mitzvah. You said that's the lashon of Evel Asiyasan. It's not just kaid in the mitzvah; it's supposed to be right before it, right? Okay, you make a bracha. Fine. So what if the person Leil Seder, he has two karbanos that he brings? He has the, or that he's eating, partaking in. He's partaking in the Karban Pesach, of course. That's the Ikar mitzvah. But he also has Chagigas Yidalin. Remember the Chagigah that was brought on the 14th to complement, to supplement, to make sure he's able to eat the Karban Pesach ala seiva, so he also has the Chagigas Yudalit as well. That's also a mitzvah. So the question is, does he have to make separate brachas on each? How does that work? So the Tanakhama says as follows. Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanakhama, he says as follows. Birich Birchas Pesach, if he made a bracha for the mitzvah Karban Pesach, Pater Eshel Zevach. He need not make a bracha for the Karban, the Zevach, the Karban Chagigah. Birich Eshel Zevach, then he's Loi Pater Eshel Pesach. If he made a bracha on the Zevach, on the Chagigah, he does still have to make a bracha on the Karban Pesach. Doesn't Pater the Karban Pesach. Taisvis quotes Yerushalmi, who learns the Machlokes, says, do we mimic the Birchas of Mitzvahs here to like the din of Birchas and Nenum? By Birchas and Nenum, we have certain foods, Iker and Tufel, the Iker Pater of the Tufel. Do we have such a concept to apply to Birchas Mitzvahs as well or not? Rabbi Shmuel seems to be saying that yes, that the Pesach is the Iker, the Chagiga is clearly a tuffel. It's here to complement, like we said, to supplement the Karban Pesach. And therefore, you make a bracha on the Pesach, the pat is the bracha on the Chagiga, but not the other way. Rabbi Kiva argues, Bechlal says, Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, I'm a lezu paterzu, lezu paterzu. Their own egin of mitzvahs, own brachas. You don't say one's ikr, one's a tuffel. You don't may say a bracha, one pat is the other. No bracha on, no brachas of any will pat to the other. They each need their own bracha. Okay. But getting according to, well, before we get to anyone's shita, What is the bracha that one makes on Birchas HaPesach? What bracha does one make? So it's interesting, machlekes nirshayim. We know typically when it comes to mitzvahs, the brachas, the nusach is either al mitzvah this, or li, right? Li, just without the al, to do this. So the shayla is by Pesach, is it al or is it li? So it's a machlekes Rashi Rashbam. Rashi says the nusach is al achilas psachim, whereas, that's the first words of Rashi at the Mishnah, whereas Rashbam seems to learn that the nusach of the bracha is bracha d'ashem kemachlam, v'tzivanu lecho Pesach. So Rashbam's lashon is lecho Pesach, it's clear in the Rashbam, first Rashbam in the Mishnah, and first Rashi in the Mishnah, Rashi learns the lashon is al achilas psachim. Interesting how they take different approaches. This gets into a big conversation when we make which type of bracha, li or al, a separate shir, separate conversation. But it's interesting that Rashi and Rashbam take different sides of the coin over here on this bracha of Pesach. Okay, point number one. But the bigger question over here is that we're saying that the bracha on the Pesach patters the bracha on the chagiga. But we just pointed out a second ago, the chagiga is there to complement, to supplement, to make sure the person is full, so he's not hungry, so he's eating the Karban Pesach al ha-saiva, which means you're eating the chagiga first. So if I eat the chagiga first, I eat the chagiga, and then I make a brachas of mitzvahs on the Pesach later, and that patters my bracha on the chagiga. It doesn't make sense sequentially. It doesn't make sense. I'm only eating the Karban Pesach later. I'm only making the brachas of mitzvahs on the Karban Pesach later. How does it work to patter the earlier chagiga? This is a shaila discussed in the Rishayim. We'll quote three quick mahalchim. It's the summer Rishayim want to learn, and a chanami. That when you have an ikker and a tuffel, and we're saying now, according to Bishmal, that we apply this concept of ikker and tuffel, that you make a bracha on the ikker, and you don't have to make a bracha on the tuffel, it would work even if the tuffel is being performed first, which is a massive chiddush. Many Rishonim, even if they hold to the concept of ikker and tuffel, don't take it this far. But the simple reading of a Mishnah would seem to indicate that not only does the ikker pop to the tuffel, even if I'm performing the tuffel first and the ikker second, I perform the tuffel without a bracha, wait for the ikker, and make a bracha on it later. The only thing that comes to mind that resembles this a little bit, again, it's over here, it's the same mitzvah, is when we put on tzitzis. In the morning, we put on a talis katan, and then we put on a talis gadol, right? For obviously for people, once they get married, when they're not wearing a talis, you make a bracha talis katan. Once you get married, you don't make a bracha talis katan, even though you put on first, you make a bracha talis gadol, and you have in mind a pata talis katan as well. So that's a concept where I'm doing one mitzvah first, and I'm still, but it's the same mitzvah really, it's a little bit still different, not the same exact idea. It's an interesting concept to have a tuffel before the ikker, yet only make a bracha on the ikker. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, maybe there's other cases that can come up, but that's an interesting concept. That's pshat number one. That would be a big chiddush, but that's what would come up for the Mishnah on a simple reading. The Maram Chalva says a big yisayin. Maram Chalva and the Tzlach, the Yehuda, was mechavet this yisayin of the Maram Chalva on his own, and this really changes a little bit of the picture that we had throughout the Masechta. We discussed this way back when, about 50, 60 blad ago, we discussed the Shaila, but we never came to a clear answer, and the Maram Chalva says it black and white over here on this Mishnah. He explains that when we talk about eating the Karban Pesach al Seiva, it doesn't mean that every part of the Karban Pesach has to be Nechal al Seiva. Al Seiva means when one's full, not completely full, that's Sechil Gasa, but it means he's full, it's almost like a dessert. We don't mean the Karban Pesach has to be in entirety al Seiva. It means that each person has to have a kezias of the Karban Pesach al Seiva. But not that the whole thing has to be in al Seiva. In which case, even if you have a chagiga to complement the Karban Pesach, it's very likely that you didn't have, it's possible that this was the case, that each person only has a kezias of Karban Pesach corresponding that person who's counted into the group. So everyone only has a kezias, in which case the entire Karban Pesach is being eaten al Seiva, in which case this answer doesn't work. But it's also quite possible that you have, let's pick a random number, 50 kezasim there. You have 50 kezasim. You only have, call it, 10 people in the group. So each member of the group really has 5 kezasim. He doesn't have to eat all 5 kezasim al Seiva. He can have his first 4, if you want to be safe, the first 3 and change, 3 kezasim and change. He's having earlier throughout the meal, and he's saving at least one kezias to eat al Seiva. If that's the case, he's able to have Karban Pesach at the same time he's having the chagiga. He's all the people at the Seder are eating both of these meats together, leaving over a kezias of Karban Pesach to be eaten at the end of al Seiva. What was the question? You're making a bracha on the Karban Pesach much later? No, you're not. You can be the Karban Pesach as early as eating the chagiga, and therefore. It's not shver how you make a bracha of the Karban Pesach prior to chagiga. Yes, you'll partake for the Karban Pesach first. Together, then you'll have chagiga, and you'll make sure to have a kezias Karban Pesach at the end. There's a big yisayid. And I think I have a basic riot to this yisayid. The Gemara discusses that you don't bring chagiga yisidalin in a year like this. We have 4 days from now, Mitzvah Shem. Meheri Abinim Beis Mikdash will be relevant, but in 4 days from now, it will be a little difficult. We have to come out to Tumachar Pesibar. But we know that one of the reasons, one of the cases we don't bring a chagiga yisidalin is if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is a nitcha from a chagiga yisidalin. So you're not bringing chagiga yisidalin, and Friday's too early, so you don't bring chagiga yisidalin. Another case is where you don't have a big group. Let's say your whole chabura is 5 people, and you have a whole lamb. It's a ton of meat. You don't need any more meat for the chabura. Then you want to bring if it's a group. The Lashon Gemara is muet. If it's a small chabura, you don't bring a chagiga. But I understand if you have to eat the Karban Pesach al Seiva, Where does it help that it's a small group with a big animal? You have to eat the whole Korban Pesach when you're already full. So you have to fill up with other food first before you eat the Korban Pesach. L'chor, it's a clear raya that as long as you have enough Korban Pesach to eat to fill yourself up, and then still have more to eat al seiva, that's okay. You'll eat the Korban Pesach even before one's full. L'chor, a very stark raya to this idea of Maram Chalva. Again, it's as far that we kind of stated for granted. We took on our own. We learned this way many, many blah back, 50, around 50, 60 blah back. But here, Maram Chalva says it right in the last half of the Masechta, black and white clear. When I mentioned this with Maram Chalva to Rabbi Kanner today, he just pointed out, and rightfully so, I think we actually discussed this earlier in the Masechta as well, that Tosfos learns the reason why you have the Chagigas Yudalid and you eat the Korban Pesach al Seiva b'chlal. The reason why you have Korban Pesach al Seiva is not al the mitzvah of appreciating Korban Pesach. That's when you have eat the fanciest food. You eat a Keter HaMelech al Seiva, you're already full, you have other meats, this is al Seiva. Tosfos says the reason is because there's an Isser Le Etzem Esish Rabbi. You cannot break a bone of the Korban Pesach, and we're scared if you're ravished, if you're hungry, and you have a big appetite, if you're not full yet, and you take Korban Pesach, you may break a bone to get the marrow. You may be very hungry, you may break a bone to get the marrow. And therefore, we say to the person, fill yourself up a little first, don't be so aggressive, don't be so desperate, and then eat the meat when you're already full. So according to Tosfos, this cheshbon wouldn't work in the Ram Chalva, because again, you wouldn't be able to, you would be obligated to eat other food first before you eat the Korban Pesach, so you would be eating the Chagiga first. Unless you say that when you know there's enough meat there, you're not going to break a bone. When it's so clear that there's more than enough meat, you won't break a bone, and even Korban Pesach alone will be fine. Okay, the third mahalach is Chiddush Arzerua, based on the Gemara that we just pointed out for the day, which is that you do a mitzvah, you make a bracha evel asyasan. So Arzerua on that sugi has a chiddush. Then let's say a person does a mitzvah and he didn't make the bracha evel asyasan, but he's still next to the mitzvah. He just performed the mitzvah. He can make the birchas mitzvah afterwards. But the eved, he can make it afterwards. Kind of like we have with the zeman. Kind of like we have with the kiddush earlier in the Masechta, not so long ago, right in the beginning of our Pesachim, we discussed making kiddush after the meal, right? When we said mappas, your peris mappa, or makadish. So that was one side. So the other side, Tosfos discusses the side of Korter Beis Aglili, they just finish the meal, you finish the meal and make kiddush after the meal. As long as kiddush is connected to the meal, Korter Beis in Tosfos, either before the meal or after the meal, that's a good kiddush on Shabbos. So similar idea. As long as your birkas of mitzvah is connected to the mitzvah, either prior to the mitzvah or even after, lechatchil should be before, but the event after is okay. After is okay. Says Arzerua, says beautiful. According to that, Mishnah can read very geschmack. Arzerua Shetasei. The Rabbi Shmuel held that if one ate Enachami, you have to make a bracha on the Chagiga first, because you're eating it first, and you're not even eating the Pesach yet. But what if you ate the Chagiga without making a bracha, and now it's time to come eat the Korban Pesach, and you can still make a bracha for the Chagiga because you're allowed to make a bracha afterwards? Arzerua Shetasei. Other Rishonim argue, we don't hold this way, but Arzerua holds you can make a bracha after. Kamashma and Rabbi Shmuel, that no, the bracha you're going to make now on the Korban Pesach patters also the bracha that you would still owe, so to speak, for the zevach. So that's the third answer to the question: how am I making a bracha on the Korban Pesach for the chagiga? Chagiga was already eaten earlier. The answer is: Enacham, you ate it earlier, but you still owe the bracha. And the Pesach, according to the bracha on the Pesach, according to Bishmol, will pat to the need for the bracha on the chagiga. Rabbi Kiva, of course, argues on both. Okay, says the Gemara. The Gemara now is just going to connect. This machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, they have legabi whether the ikur patters the tuffel. So a similar machlekes is going to be legabi the different forms of zrika. Says the Gemara, kishtim salaymer the Rabbi Shmuel. We know there's three forms of getting the dam in the mizbeach. There's zrika. You take the cup full of dam and you do a zrika. You throw it towards the mizbeach. You don't throw the whole case, but you flick the case in a way where the blood gets thrown onto the mizbeach. Or the shvicha, you go right up against the mizbeach and you pour. Or there's batzba, you stick your finger in and put the dam with your finger onto the mizbeach, right? So, kshtim zleimar, l'tiv Rabbi Shmuel, zrika b'chal shvicha. This is really a discussion elsewhere. It's a machlekes in Zvachim Perk Beshamai, Rashbam brings. There's a whole discussion over there whether zrika is b'chal shvicha, whether zrika is included in shvicha or not. The shvicha is shvicha like a zrika plus or not. Says the Gemara, l'tiv Rabbi Shmuel, I'll tell you zrika is b'chal shvicha, v'lei shvicha b'chal zrika. It makes sense to say that zrika is included in shvicha, and shvich is not included in zrika. The Gemara, this deeper connection over here, we're tying in the type of zrika you do for Korban Pesach versus the type of zrika you do for the chagiga would also play a role over here. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, that we have the ikur encompasses the tuffel, so the zrika wouldn't be included in shvicha. Shvicha is not included in zrika. Shvicha is what you do by Korban Pesach. Zrika is what you do by the Korban chagiga. The Rabbi Kiva, same story. Lo shvicha b'chal zrika, lo shvicha b'chal shvicha. According to Rabbi Kiva, neither one is b'chal the other one. Just like the bracha on either one doesn't pat each other, so too neither one is b'chal the other one. Top of the page, Yukufafav and Bez, Rav Simoy, Iklev, Pidyan, Ben Visoy came to the story of Pidyan Ben Boimene. They asked him, Pshita Pidyan Ben Ashikisham says, Mitzvanu, Al Pidyan Ben, Avia Ben Mavarach. We know there's two brachas of Pidyan Ben. There's the bracha of what we just quoted, Mitzvanu Al Pidyan Ben. Notice that's an Al, not a Lif, not Lifta, he says a Ben. Al Pidyan Ben, okay, that's one bracha. And there's a bracha Shechyanu. It's Pasha, the mitzvah of Al Pidyan Ben is made by the father. Who makes the bracha Shechyanu? What's the Shaila? Does the Kaya make it or does the father make it? Now, what on earth is this coming up? What Shaykh is our Sugya? So, the, Rashbam says very simple. It's another case of two brachas. It's another scenario of two brachas. That's the Sheikh of Star Siga, a little bit of a, maybe we want to end the Masechta on such a note, but it's a Sheikh of a Simcha, of a newborn baby, but that's the Sheikh of Star Siga. The Ben Yedis is beautiful. It's a remiss, the whole Masechta. Kadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us and took us out of Mitzrayim. The whole idea of Pidyon HaBen is the Pidya of a father redeeming his son. That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a remiss, Kadosh Baruch Hu redeeming us, taking us out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so. What is the halacha by Shechianu? It says the Gemara, Shechianu v'kimanu, Baruch Shechianu v'kimanu v'gedol l'zman hazeh, Kayin mevaruch, or Avi HaBen Baruch? Who makes the bracha, the Kayin or the Avi HaBen? That is the Shaila. Kayin or the Avi HaBen, says the Gemara, Kayin mevaruch, the kamati hanah liyadei, the Kayin makes the bracha because he gets the hanah, he gets the money, he gets the May pinyon. Avi HaBen Baruch, the Kavah Mitzvah, he's the one doing the Mitzvah. The Avi HaYadei, so this question was posed to Rav Simlai when he came to the Beis Medrash, and he didn't have the answer. What did he do? He didn't shy away. Asa Shaila Bay Midrash. He went himself. He asked. He went to the base medrash himself. When he came to a pinyon HaBen, he was asked the question. He said, "Let me go to the base medrash. Let me go find out." He went to the base medrash and asked the Shaila. Amr Lay. He said that they said to him, "Avia Ben Mevarch Shtayim." The father makes both brachas to Shechianu, in addition to, of course, the Al Pidyon Vitzivanu Al Pidyon HaBen. Now, there's four more words to the Masechta where the Gemara is going to just essentially collaborate that that's the story. I don't want to read it inside for those who. Want to save it for a Siyam, Mirtz Hashem, Thursday, Stein, it's Becherim, just a few days from now, you could use this as a Siyam. I'll still give you a Mazel Tov. One quick last point on this Gemara, and then we'll get to the new Masechta. We're going to start Shkolm Dav Beis. But one quick point, we know there's a Shechianu by Pidyon HaBen. The Shechianu, we don't make a Shechianu by Bris. Now I say we don't because we don't talk in North America, and many people in Israel don't as well. But there are people in Israel to make a bracha of Shechianu by Bris Mila, and the reason is because that's Rambam Shita. Rambam says that by a Bris Mila we do make a Shechianu. However, most people in the Ashkenaz, and certainly North America, in Israel, some even not in the Ashkenaz, but in North America, most people and around the world do not make a Shechianu. What's the difference? Why by Bris is no Shechianu, and by Pidyon HaBen there is a Shechianu? So it's a few malachim given the Shechianu. We'll just point out a couple. One malach is on a very, it's a little bit morbid, but the idea is that part of that reason why we wait 30 days for Pidyon HaBen, I mean, the Torah tells us, but part of the reason the idea is behind it is because until 30 days, a Ben is not considered a Bar Kiyama. 30 days, you know, is the cutoff that we say that the baby is considered Bar Kiyama. So, yes, we have a mitzvah meal on the eighth day. The Torah dictates to us a mitzvah, a meal on the eighth day. We make a bracha of mitzvah on the eighth day, but to make a Shechianu, you make a Shechianu until the Ben is a Ben Kiyama. That's one answer. Taisva says, very simply, that it's not as novel. It's not so novel to have a baby boy to have a bris. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know, 50% roughly of the children born are boys, and therefore, so it's big simcha. We're not minimizing simcha, but you make Shechianu when something's more novel. It's less frequent. It's considered not so frequent. Having baby boys is pretty frequent, and therefore, it doesn't warrant Shechianu. A Pidyon HaBen is much less frequent. Pidyon HaBen is not just a boy; it's a firstborn boy. And born to parents where there's no patur, where the father is not a kayan or a levi, where the mother's not a kayan, a bas kayan or a bas levi, it's less frequent. There's no nafil before. Had there been a nafil before, I mean, that's just another form of not being a firstborn, but there's other issues, the other scenarios, why there wouldn't be Pidyon HaBen, and therefore, since it's less common, it's more novel, so that's why we make a shechianu there, and not by bris mila. The Rush says, very simple svara, that the tsar, the yanuka, the tsar of the yanuka, the child, the baby, has tsar, the baby's getting bris mila. Yes, it's a mitzvah. Yes, it's a mitzvah, but if anyone ever feels like, why don't we worry about the baby? We are worried about the baby. Says the Rush, that's why no Shechianu. You don't make a Shechianu when a baby's getting cut, having a surgery done, and he's crying. We don't make a Shechianu, such a mitzvah. By the way, it's a beautiful Zushta. I'm thinking about it right now. There's a Ran, and it must be, maybe it's right over here. There's a Ran in the end of Mesechta's Pesachim we discuss this. We're about to come up next week in Mirtz Hashem. We start Svira on, what is it? Leil Seder is Matzah Shabbos. Sunday night, we start Svira. Why is there no Shechianu on Svira? Why is there no Shechianu on the mitzvah of Svira? Some say there is. You know when you make Shechianu on Svira? When you make a Shechianu on Shavuos night. That's the Shechianu of we mashlim the whole Svira. It's the Shechianu of Shavuos. It's the Shechianu of Svira. But there's a question born in the first, and why is there no Shechianu of Svira? The Ran in Pesachim. I remember this from elsewhere. Not if I didn't see this before, just now. I'm assuming it's right here, then the Masechta. The Ran says no Shechianu on Svira. You know why? Because when we make a bracha on Svira Sa'imer, we reminisce, we remember the bracha, the carbon aimer. We no longer have a base to bring the carbon aimer. It puts us bitzar. We're bitzar. When you're bitzar, maybe it should put us bitzar, and we're not, but it puts us bitzar. When we do something in mitzvah that brings us bitzar, that doesn't bring us into a matzav of simcha, we do not make a shechianu. I'm just saying it's very connected, fits beautiful like this Rush. When you put the baby bitzar, you don't make a shechianu. When we make serious aimer, it should give us a little bit of a tip that we don't have a we're counting down to an aimer of a, from the michas aimer that we weren't able to bring on the 16th because we don't have a base of mikdash, and therefore counting down to the michas bikurim of shuas, right? We don't have that, we don't have a base of mikdash yet, and therefore it tips us, therefore it's a tsar, and maheri yibana base of mikdash, we should get rid of that tsar, but that's why there's no shechianu. Beautiful idea from the Rush and from the Ran. Okay. The Mishnah in Shkalim. Yes.